We'll be reading from John chapter 4 this morning. We'll start at verse 31 through verse 38, so you may look up that scripture for a while. I'd like to thank some of you who had given us some financial support when we went to Alaska this time, and I assure you it was used in an efficient way and for some real needs, and we thank you for your support. I'd just like to take a second and review. I was really impressed with Michelle and Nelson's comments, and here's what I gathered from what they said. Michelle said, you don't need to know the details. You need to step out. Nelson said it this way, you don't need a plan. God knows what he wants us to do. And I'm like you, Michelle. I like to know all the details. I don't want any surprises. But God does surprises. She said, if we pray, if we're willing to pray, he's willing to answer. And the experience that we had, that Michelle had, the pains she endured, and all of us endure, help others, help us understand them and comfort them. You can read that in 2 Corinthians 1:4. She said specific prayers touch lives. God knows their needs better than we do. He'll arrange the meeting. She said that children have a special place in God's kingdom, and there needs to be an open place in our heart for them. And I gathered that from what she said about this man who helped her, that it's probably more likely that we would meet an angel while we're doing the mission work than at any other time. I mean, what do we need angels for now? I mean, yeah, they protect us, but when we're really doing the will of God, they come to minister and help us. And she said, spiritual warfare is real. Brother Nelson said that it's important that the people know that they're loved, what our motives are. And I remember speaking, I met a girl in Alaska. Her name was Stephanie, and she taught me something interesting. She was a Choctaw Indian. And she said the reason the Choctaw people were more open to the white people is because the missionaries that came to the Choctaw first, the Choctaw people knew that the missionaries loved them. And how important can that be? Quickly, some of the things we did in Alaska, I'll make it pretty quickly. We went up, we got there a day or so earlier than Brother Ray Noecker and Cheryl and two of their children. And so we had a day kind of a, you know, what are we going to do today? We can't have any meetings. Who are we going to visit? Judy made the suggestion that we go see Martin Boozer. Now, Martin Boozer is a famous sled dog champion, won the Iditarod 4 times. He's well known. He's originally from Switzerland. Dwayne and Dina and I, we met him our very first trip up there. But Martin's son had been in a bad accident last spring, and Judy said, why don't we go and find out how Nikolai is? So we went up there, and he was in between where he gives his tours and explains everything, and it was just Martin there and his other son, Ron, were there. And anyway, Martin came himself, and we talked with him, and I said, you might not remember us, and we talked, but I asked the question, how's Nikolai? And he answered that he's doing well. He had a book there that showed, that well-documented, actually a printed book of Nikolai's, the car he was in, pictures of him in the hospital at one point with 80 ports of wires and tubes in his body. He lost half of his bowels. He lost his spleen. He had a broken back, a broken neck. I mean, I don't know what all. I just could not imagine this. And I told Martin, I said, we were praying for Nikolai. And he said, that's what made the difference. Now, Martin's not a professing Christian, I know, but he's a very friendly, outgoing person. Anyway, long story short, before we left, I said, Martin, since the first time that we were up here and met you, I said, we have prayed for you and your family. And I asked Judy, did I imagine this? But she sort of confirmed It's like something opened up. And then he wanted to talk to us even more. So I still have him on my prayer list for salvation. I thought it was a worthwhile visit. Another thing, we looked at some properties because we really are in need of a place to worship. We stayed with Sam and Rhoda Bucher. We had thought we were going to have other arrangements, but they had room for us and the Noeckers, and we stayed there. The weather, basically, it was warm. They've had some up to 90-degree temperatures, too, but most of the time we were there, it was cloudy and it was cool, and I was so glad I wasn't back here with y'all. I'm sorry, but I was so glad, and it was hard to come back to this, but Sam and I, when the first day, Sam took me a quick ride. He had some errands to run, and we visited a man named Larry Golden. Larry had attended some of our services, and I knew from talking to him, he's on my prayer list, and I told him, I don't know, one of our trips up, I asked about him, and I said how we prayed, and he was telling me about his daughter and her husband and left her and all kinds of issue, and I told him we'll be praying, and so we briefly talked with him. I told him we'll continue to pray for his daughter. He said she really needs the Lord. We visited with Titus and Natasha Glass and their children, and they requested that they would be rebaptized by Trine Immersion, and so we wanted to arrange that. Sunday, that was Saturday night. Sunday, Brother Ray preached for the German Baptists. They had their meeting. They fellowship back and forth, but I think it's pretty clear the German Baptists have a direction they want to go, and we here have a different direction, but we still can fellowship. Brother Ray preached for them. Then in the afternoon, the Ukrainian people allow us to use their church, and we had services there. I spoke there. That night we were invited by a Mennonite family. There are a lot of people up there from various places, Texas and New York and wherever, but they had a hymn sing we were invited to, and we went, and we were well received and treated very well, and we had really enjoyed it. It was a good hymn sing. On Monday, Ray, who is a builder, was helping Rodney Hoover. They need a kitchen done, and he was helping with that. We met Danny and Becky for supper, and what had happened during our meeting with the Glasses, Natasha had recently had back surgery, and I didn't think she was up to being rebaptized, even though I requested it, and I was saying, well, you know, Wayne Hallbaker is soon coming up, and I said, but we can send someone up, and I missed it. Then I found out, well, they said, well, what's wrong with now? And so she was up to it, and so Monday we had the baptizing at Mirror Lake. Brother Clapper and I had explained our views on baptism, scripture, history, and Titus. It was interesting to me. Titus told me he remembered an old Russian that he knew, and he said he'd greet him with a kiss, but he would kiss him three times. And he said, because there's always three with God, you know, and Titus related that to the baptism, and it really, and plus the history and the scriptures, they wanted that. And so we did that on Monday. We had a went to a place called Mirror Lake, and we rebaptized. There's some pictures out there, and I really hope that you'll go by and look at Natasha's face, the smile she has. She was so happy, and she kind of choked me up. She said to me, she said, does this mean that, I don't know the exact words now, she said, does this mean that we're in the church or we're part of the church, something to that effect? And I said, yes, and she said, that's so nice, and I almost broke down. She was so happy. Then Tuesday, we were to leave Tuesday evening. We quickly visited a Mennonite family, Jerry Troyer and his wife, Ivy. Jerry's had a lot of physical problems. We have prayed for him before, and he's doing so well. They didn't expect him to live a couple years ago, and he seems to be better all the time. We wanted to see Sam but he had to work because of patients, and so we did not get to see Sam before he left, but we did see the family. Now today, remember Brother Ray, he'll be preaching Alaska time about 1:30 this afternoon, Alaska time. He'll be preaching for the group there. So there's a lot more I could say, but let's read the scripture and have a short prayer here. If you have any questions later, see me. And I know we all watch the clock, but this is a work of God. What's God trying to say to us today? Verse 31, John 4. In the meantime, while his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. And this is when Jesus was speaking with the woman, the Samaritan. He said to them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, there yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. Herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labor, and ye are entered into their labors. I think verse 37 is why I picked this scripture, because God might not be calling us to reap, but he's certainly calling us to at least sow. Let's kneel quickly for a word of prayer. Father, this morning we come to you in the name of Jesus. We ask, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would reveal to each one of us and how we can fulfill our obligation to the lost world. We pray, Lord.
My heart, too, has been blessed with everything that was shared this morning. I realize the clock is moving on. If your sisters are sitting here worrying about that roast that you have in the oven, I will try to do a little condensed version so that it won't be burnt too hard before you get home. So it's a blessing to be with you. Good to see your faces again. Many of you I do not know. And I'm just so thankful to be a part of your mission Sunday here. Mission has been on my heart for many years, and I just want to bless, I think I have her name right, Michelle and Nelson, for sharing. If you're here as a young person, and this is not only for young people, but I do want to speak to you young people. If God ever gives you the opportunity or you see an open door to go visit another country or another area, I encourage you to do it. My wife and I, before we were married, went together, and it was okay because we traveled with the bishop of our congregation into the country of Haiti. And that changed my view, because I was so used to thinking that everyone lives like I do. But to go into a country where there's so many needs, I came back a different young man. And I told my wife, actually before she was my wife, talking about marriage, I told her, I said, I don't know what God has for us as a future, but I do feel a call upon my life. And at that time, I was not necessarily looking at it as a minister, but more involved in mission work. But God did call as a minister to preach the word of God, and God has opened doors that we're able to even visit other areas and other countries as well. So you're not looking at someone that has, when it comes to mission, a lot of experience of living on the field and being out there, but I do have a little, not a lot, but with street evangelism and also into teaching in other countries. I'm going to start with a phrase, and I want you to ponder it throughout this morning and also this evening. And I realize the word mission can actually mean a couple different things depending how you use it. But if you're not a missionary, you're the mission. I want you to ponder that. If you're not a missionary, somehow we have this idea that in order to be a missionary, I need to have a special call As we go throughout some scripture this morning, I want you to know that every child of God is a missionary. And if you find it that you have this mentality that mission work or missionary or being a missionary is for just special people. And yes, it is for special people. It's the special people of God that are called to be missionaries. We are all missionaries as the children of God. And if you're not a missionary, maybe you're the mission. Maybe something is wrong in your life that you find it hard to testify of the goodness of the Lord. And I mentioned that this word mission can be used a couple different ways. And I'm going to give a secular illustration to show to help us to see that. A number of years back, I was involved with a business that was corporate. And we would get together as managers of our different locations occasionally at one particular area or particular, actually we rotated between the different locations of the business. And they had hired a new CEO for this company. And as he gave the outline, emailed the outline to me of what is going to be discussed at our next meeting, point number one was getting a mission statement together. And I thought, wow, a secular business that really had no interest at all, and many of them would recognize God, but their vision was not for missions. And yet they wanted to get a mission statement together. And I thought, well, this sure seems strange. Because in my mentality, I had mission. When I hear the word mission, I think of evangelism. I think of discipleship. And I wasn't quite sure what to expect at this meeting. I had to travel, and when I arrived there, we sat around the table of a conference table, and he said, we're going to talk about our mission statement. And my ears were all, tuned in because I wanted to know what this mission statement is all about. Basically, a mission statement for a business is it describes the reason for the need or for guidance in the decisions about your priorities or your actions as a company. So I did a little research, and I thought, well, is he the only one asking for a mission statement? But many of the businesses that you and I shop at have what they call mission statements. And before that, I wasn't aware of that they call it a mission statement. Again, this is a secular illustration, but I think most of us are familiar with sheets, the place where you go for gas or maybe a quick coffee or something, you're running late or whatever. But their mission statement is to provide fast and friendly service and quality products in clean and convenient locations. That's their mission statement. Now, a business has a mission statement. They also have what they call a vision statement. A mission statement is one sentence or a sentence or two describing their goal as a business. And most of the sheets, places that you get to, I've been to most of them are fairly clean. Their goal is to have friendly, fast service. And they want to take good care of you, and they want clean and convenient locations. They don't put a sheets somewhere where it's not convenient. It is their mission statement. The next one that I'd like to look at has to do with Walmart. Walmart also has a mission statement, and their statement is this: we save people money so they can live better. That's their mission statement. That's what Walmart is all about. They're going to save you money so that you have an easier life, so that you can buy more, because they want you back into that store again. They want you to become dissatisfied with what you already bought yesterday. And they say, come back, it's cheap. If not, we will find a product that you can afford. We want you to be able to save you money so that you can live better. They want you back through that door the next day. And maybe they wouldn't even care if you'd show up two times in one day. But their goal is to save you money so that you can live better. McDonald's. Their mission is to be our customer's favorite place and way to eat. Their drive is to your stomach. They want you, when you see the golden arches, to get hungry. How many times were you driving? Maybe you're traveling as a family. Maybe you don't eat at McDonald's. I don't know. But we do occasionally. Might not be always the best food for you. But how many times were you driving and all of a sudden, I'm hungry? Or you see the golden arches and, hey, let's stop for lunch now. That's their mission statement, is to be our customer's favorite place and way to eat. Now, the secular world understands that there needs to be a mission statement, what their goal is. The question that we need to, that we're going to answer this morning is, what is the church's mission statement? What is our statement as the people of God? And you might say, well, it's the whole Bible. That's correct. It is the whole Bible. But I'd like to just share a few things with you that God, through the knowledge of the, through the different writers of Scripture, we do have a mission statement. But before we talk about ourselves, I want to talk first of all about the Lord Jesus Christ. Open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 61. This is a prophecy referring to the future of the Messiah. Isaiah 61. Begin reading at verse 1. Remember, this was a prophecy. This was not fulfilled yet. And man was, in during Isaiah's time, man was in a dire strait. They were in great need. Man, we all understand the book of Genesis. We all understand the fall of man. We all understand what the result of sin brought into the world. Before man sinned, there was a beautiful relationship between God and man. Wouldn't it have been such a blessing to be able to be in the Garden of Eden and to hear the Lord come walking through, or God come walking through the garden, and to be able to have that communication? That's what it was originally, but that was severed because of sin. And because sin severed that relationship between God and man, man was doomed for eternity. Man had trouble. He had trials. And as you go throughout the book of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and there was much bloodshed, there was much anger, there was much, a lot took place in the Old Testament, and because of that, there was a lot of needy people, and not only was it for their time, but also for our time. But Isaiah prophesied that sometime there is coming the Messiah, and he is going to heal people. And it's only through Jesus Christ that men and women today can be restored into that relationship with Christ. The Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me. Remember, I failed to say this, that as we go through a couple points here, that we are called to be the instrument to tell the good news of salvation. We cannot save people ourselves. Only the Lord Jesus Christ saves people. And that's why I'm pointing this out. We're looking at Christ's mission statement. This is his mission statement. He hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek, and he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to open of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And we could go on and read throughout the verses there, that the old wasted places are again going to be rebuilt, and that there is hope. This is a prophecy of the future, that there's a hope, there is a Messiah coming. And many of the prophets in the Old Testament, and it's amazing how much they understood about the future, even though you and I today are able to see and everything that took place, and we understand it all because we are on this side of the cross. They were on the other side. And yet it's marvelous
the relationship they had with God, that they were able to understand that there is a Messiah coming. The psalmist David. And even Job, if you want to go into the book of Job, Job understood, I know that my Redeemer liveth. He knew that there's a future. There's going to be deliverance from whatever they were going through as individuals. And here's his Old Testament, Isaiah saying, the Spirit of God is upon me, referring to Christ, that he is going to bind the broken hearts. And it's going to be good tidings. His name is going to be a name of good tidings, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. And he's going to give a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Oh, we live in a world that is heavy. We live in a world that needs the garment of praise. But first, and we'll get to that maybe later tonight, first of all, we need to experience the garment of praise in our own life before we can go out and tell others that are in the heaviness about this praise. Turn to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Verse 16, and he came to Nazareth when he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Even the Lord Jesus Christ had his certain customs. And that was to go to the synagogue. You and I have our customs. We came here to worship the Lord together on a Sunday morning. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. They knew those verses because they were looking for this Messiah. And everyone was watching him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. He was saying, I'm the Messiah. I am the one that has come to heal the brokenhearted, that the people can recover the sight, that are blind, that they can now have sight, and that they can be at liberty, set at liberty from their bruises. That's our Jesus. He is able to do that. He is able to do that. The mission of the church today, the mission that God is asking for you and I, is in essence a continuation of Christ's earthly ministry. It's true we're not Christ. We can't die for someone and that they can experience salvation. We can die for the sake of the gospel or be killed. But when it comes to doing good and reaching out to the hurting, and being able to point people to Christ, we are called to continue, in essence, the ministry of Christ. And we have a few scriptures we'd like to look at regarding to that. John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 12. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he also do. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And we're going to look later tonight about the verses where Christ gave the disciples about going out and testifying or reaching the world. But here he is saying that I'm going to go. I'm going to go unto my Father. But just because I have gone unto the Father does not mean that my work stops. My work needs to continue. And how does that continue? He's placing it on man. You know, Jesus didn't write anything down. He didn't write a book. He could have been the best author there was, but he did not even write a book. And the Gospels, as you and I know it today, were not written until 35 or 40 years after Christ's death. It was inspired, but Jesus placed this tremendous responsibility into the life of human beings. and said, "There you are. Continue my ministry. Continue. Get to work. It's about the ministry that I have started." Matthew 18, verse 11, it mentions about the Son of Man has come to save the lost. How is he going to save the lost if the lost don't know about him? He also says in Matthew 4, 19, "I will make you fishers of men." How many of you like fishing for trout? Some of you are fishermen. I see some hands going up. But may we have as much of a desire or more of a desire for the fishing of men than for that actual fishing with a rod. "I will make you fishers of men." He called fishermen. I don't know exactly why he called fishermen, but they understood fishing. And I had a track a number of years ago, and I came across it about the men that the fishless fishermen, they went fishing and couldn't find any fish. And finally, somebody caught a fish. And then they took that fish around everywhere that they absolutely could take that fish so he could tell how he was saved or how he was fished out of the water. And everyone forgot to go fishing. And that's what's happening too many times in our own churches, is we get so caught up into ourselves and everything that we're considered fishermen, but we just don't go fishing. 2 Corinthians 5:18, it says he has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Reconciliation. Do we understand what reconciliation is? Reconciliation is first when we are reconciled to Christ. And when we understand reconciliation, we will want to see others reconciled. We will want to see others reconciled to Jesus. We want to see relationships healed. We want to see churches healed. We want to see families healed. We want, because we're called the ministers of reconciliation. May God give us the burden for reconciliation. I have a paper here. I wasn't going to read it until tonight, but I'm going to read it now, and then we'll let, having to do with Christ, wanting the world to know about him. The title of this little, and I'm not going to read it all, but I'm just going to share a few of the things here. The title of this little poem or little account is "Ready or Not." Again, if Jesus has placed that responsibility on you and I, so that the lost can know about him, or that our people or the community can know about him, let's make sure that we are carrying out, doing the responsibility as given to us. "Ready or not, they said they couldn't go. They had a house to buy. It was their dream house, and they wanted to enjoy it just a few years first. So they waited. They waited because they felt the call, but they waited because they wanted to enjoy their nice house. So they waited. But the old jungle grandma didn't. She grew deaf and blind and eventually died. She never heard the good news. No one went to tell her. She just died and went to hell forever. He said he couldn't go. He studied long for his degree. It only made good sense to teach at the university, where they would appreciate his knowledge at least for a few years. So he waited. But a young Indian man didn't. While out hunting in trees, he fell, hit his head, lingered shortly, and died. He never heard the good news. No one went to tell him. He just died and went to hell forever. She said she couldn't go. She always wanted to grow beautiful flowers, and now was her chance. Surely God wanted her to have this desire fulfilled. She'd just stay a few years to enjoy it. So she waited. But the child bride in the foreign land didn't. Her drunken husband beat her to death in a raging fit, so she died. She never heard the good news. No one went to tell. She just died and went to hell forever. They said they couldn't go. Their children were young and full of life. Surely it wouldn't be right and fair to take them overseas and deprive them of a normal childhood. They would always go later. So they waited. But the young girl who wandered into the jungle didn't. A hungry tiger caught her, and it was too late. She died. She never heard the good news. No one went to tell her. She just died and went to hell forever. He said he couldn't go. A foreign language wasn't his thing. He'd only make a fool of himself and be laughed at. He would work on his self-confidence and maybe feel called later. So he waited. But But the old witch doctor didn't. While trying to communicate with the spirits, he got into such a state that he had a heart attack and died. He never heard the good news. No one went to tell. He just died and went to hell forever. And that's only a portion of this whole article. But we will look at the call of every mission this evening. About go ye therefore and teach all nations. About how evangelism and discipleship go hand in hand. And every Christian, you should feel a call upon your life to tell others about you. It's not just for the ministers, it's not just for those, it's for all of us. As we go about our jobs, our responsibilities, just a little word can do open doors just like that to testify of the goodness of the Lord. I was at an airport, and I was sitting there enjoying or eating some lunch, and I put my trash, I wasn't finished yet, but I had put my trash down beside me on the floor in a bag, and this gentleman that was in charge of collecting the garbage came walking by, and he said, "Can I take your trash for you?" I said, "Yes, and God bless you for doing it." You know, he looked at me. He was never blessed before for picking up somebody's trash. You know, little things like that just open the door. I was also stopped at a place and was coming out through, and there's a man, this place I get to occasionally, and there's this older man. Better be careful how I say that. He's probably about my age. He was collecting the trash, going about getting the trash can. And I went over and I shook his hand. I said, "What's your name?" And he told me. I said, "Thank you so much for collecting the trash at this facility." I said, "Have you ever been thanked before for collecting the trash?" He said, "No, no one has ever thanked me before for this job." You know, little things like that. You don't need to be. And I want you to know that whether God is calling you to Alaska or to China or to other countries, we have a mission right here in our own communities as well. And your neighbors have no Bible but your life. And we will look at that a little bit later tonight. So God bless you. Thank you for your patience.
Stand for prayer.